over the next 6 weeks between now and Thanksgiving, I invite you week by week to join with me as we reflect on the meaning of discipleship. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And week by week, we will look at the scriptures the church offers us, and we will walk more deeply in that discovery of discipleship. That's really what the gospel reading is about this morning. It's a story of a wonderful man, a good man, an honest man, a man with integrity, a man of deep, deep spiritual life. Yet this man recognized that there was something within him that wasn't right. He recognized that there was something lacking. He recognized that something was missing. And so he comes to Jesus. And he begs Jesus, "Tell me, what is it that I must do to gain eternal life?" It's really kind of interesting, I think, that if you read through all four Gospels, and if you list all of the parables and all of the teachings of Jesus, the majority of those teachings have to do with the way we treat material things. Jesus is obsessed with that. For Jesus, it becomes a litmus test. Jesus looks at this good man, this deeply religious man, and Jesus loves him. Jesus' heart goes out to him. And Jesus said to him, "There is only one thing lacking for you. You need to step back from what you possess. You need to free yourself from an attachment. You need to let go of that great wealth you have, that great wealth that you trust will be your security, that great wealth in which you place your confidence. You need to step back from that, because that is an obstacle to your placing God at the center of your life. Do that, and then come and follow me." The man receives his answer, and immediately he's filled with sadness. We're told he was a person who had immense wealth. And he obviously could not see his way clear to step back from it. We're told that he just went off. We're told what was in the man's heart. We weren't told what was in Jesus' heart. Was Jesus also sad? Was Jesus disappointed? Did that man walk away very slowly? Did Jesus watch him walk away? Did that man pause and look back over his shoulder? Did that man have second thoughts? We know nothing about that. We know that an invitation was given, and we know that the invitation was refused. Now, Jesus reminds the man very early in the story. The man says to Jesus, "Good Master, what must I do?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, and that is God." What Jesus did is he reminded the man of the touchstone of faith, a touchstone that is summarized in the first commandment or is summarized in the great commandment. "I am the Lord your God, you will have no gods before me." Or, "Hear, O Israel, I, the Lord, am your God alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart and all your soul and all your strength." The very touchstone of faith is found in the acknowledgement of God as the center of all that is, as the source of all that is. And thus to recognize that every single human being is a gracious gift of God. Before the world began, God foresaw each and every one of us. Before the world began, each and every one of us was in the mind of God. Before the world began, God knew that you and I, this day, the 15th day of October 2006, would be gathered here in this space. There is nothing about who we are, who I am, who you are, that escapes the hand of God. And so Jesus says to that young man, this is the center, this is what's first. And anything that would compromise that, any relationship that would compromise that, any material thing that would compromise that, any possession of the soul that would compromise that, you must step back from that. I will not have strange gods. And that was the challenge that was put before the young man. The young man received a call. That's the first step. That's the first point of discipleship. The young man received a call. And you and I have also received a call. And we continue to receive that call. For the Lord in the Spirit continues to touch us, to call us into union with Him, to invite us into a deeper discipleship. And that call comes to us, that call comes to us through the Word of God, through the sacrament we celebrate, through the people in our lives, through the work in which we engage, to the people with whom we associate. That call from God comes continuously. And as that young man, so each and every one of us, we can find ways of rationalizing that call. We can find ways of not hearing that call. We can find ways of walking away from that call. But discipleship originates with the call, with the invitation. Now, I would suggest to you that one of the ways in which that word comes to all of us is in the Word of Scripture. And I would encourage you to really commit yourself or recommit yourself to the prayerful reading of the Scriptures. There's a practice. There's a way of reading the Scriptures that allows that word to come to life. You quiet yourself and you open the text. Begin with the Gospel of St. Mark. And slowly, deliberately, read the words that are before you. Don't worry about how much you're going to read or how little you're going to read. Just slowly read the words. Sometimes people say it's best to read them out loud so that I hear them with my ears and I see them with my eyes and I mouth them with my lips. Slowly read that text until something jumps off the page at you. A word, an image, a sentence, a phrase, until something jumps off and hits you. And it will. If you do this regularly, day after day, something will come off that page and hit you. I've never been skunked doing it. Something comes off that page. And it may be a consoling word, it may be a challenging word, but there is a word that is given to you. And then you sit with that word, or that phrase, or that image, or that sentence. And you allow that word to roll around inside of you. You allow that word to speak to you. Because in that word, God is speaking. It's the word for you. And once you've done that, you end the prayer. You give thanks to God for the gift that is given that day. And you take that word and you walk with that word the rest of the day. And you bring that word to mind. The Word of God, as we heard in the second reading, the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It can slide within the tightest crevice between soul and body, between bone and marrow. The Word of God is a word of power. A disciple is a person who really is committed to searching that word. Now, as you read the Scriptures, I would suggest to you that there are three qualities, three gifts that the Scripture brings to you. The first thing is that the Scripture unfolds some principles that you and I can reflect on. The Scripture opens up for us some principles of life that you and I can use to reflect. Number two, the Scriptures provide us with criteria to make choices or judgments, to make good choices and honest judgments. And lastly, the Scriptures provide us guidelines for how to act. So the principle is laid out. The criteria, the help in making judgments or decisions is there. And then the guidelines, which are the impetus to action, are present. And those who will take the Scripture as part of their daily life, as the bread they eat and the water they drink, as their nourishment, it is in the Word of God. It is in that powerful Word that you and I will hear again and again and again and again the call to discipleship. Now, when we hear that call, sometimes it's exactly what we don't want to hear. That young man didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say to him. Jesus wants something from us. And sometimes we begin that walk of discipleship by being grumpy givers. He wants it from me, I don't want to give it, but I'm going to give it. And I'm going to grumble all the way. Sometimes we begin as grumpy givers. And then very often we become dutiful givers. I respond to the Lord because it is my duty. I know that this is what I should do. And ultimately, God willing, you and I become grateful and thankful givers. That ultimately we come to realize how deeply we are loved by God and how gracious God has been in our lives. And out of thankfulness, out of joy, out of gratitude, we are led to embrace discipleship. At whatever stage we're at, that's fine to be where we're at. What's important is that each of us wrestles with the truth that we are called. We are called to be followers of Jesus the Lord.